Hi everyone, welcome to All Things Creative. My name is Linda Riesenberg-Fissler, and we're going to do something a little bit different today. A few weeks ago, I was asked by my local library to come in and do a Fundamentals of Self-Publishing talk. This was at the beginning of National Novel Writing Month. They wanted me to kick off that month for them by doing this talk, and I was asked by a number of the folks who were there if I would record something, basically the talk and the PowerPoint, and put it out on the web. So that's what we're going to do today. Hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving, by the way, and that your National Novel Writing Month is getting off to a great start. So here we are, self-publishing, Fundamentals of Self-Publishing. I've authored a series of fiction books. I call it the Blind Series. And that includes Blind Influence, Blind Persuasion, and Blind Alliance. I'm working on the fourth book in that series now. And with each book, I've learned something new and something important. And it's just a wonderful experience. So I thought I'd start off with some self-publishing pros and cons. So if you are out there and you've heard people say to you, you should write a book. You know so much about a certain topic, or you're great at telling stories, or, you know, you've run into people who've just said, you know, your life would make a great book. You should sit down and write it. So, but you don't know where to start. So it's kind of, you know, I've run into this question of, I really would like to write a book, but I don't know where to start. So we're going to start with some pros and cons. And here's some pros for self-publishing your own story, your own book, whether that's fiction or nonfiction. What you don't need is an agent, a traditional publishing house, an editor. I'm going to come back to this one, though. You don't need someone to market your own book. Basically, what we're focusing on is you are just going to sit down, write your book, and self-publish it. And I'm going to provide in this talk some ways that you can do that. Some ways to get started. So I'm talking to the very, very, very beginner here. If you have published a book and you want to know how to get that out into the world a bit more, I'll have some talks in the future about that and my journey in particular and where I am in my journey right now. And I'll do a separate talk about that. So right now, who I want to talk to are the very beginners, the ones that are having a hard time writing that first word down in a journal or on a computer word processing program or wherever. I'm talking to you. So let's get, you know, so one of the pros is you don't need to worry about sending a letter to an agent, all those rejection letters, or sending it to a traditional publishing house and getting rejected, finding an editor, paying for an editor. You really don't have to do that. Your decisions, though, do affect your income. So again, we're not going to worry about that. We're going to set that to the side, and we're going to just talk about the pros of writing a book. You can write what you want. Nobody will say, oh, that's a story that's been told 100 times. We don't need to see that. There are 100,000s of books out there with the same story. You don't have to worry about that. Just sit down and start writing. You can write what you want, and you're in charge of your writing career. So if you're just at the beginning of this, the first huge hurdle that you want to get over is writing that book, writing the first book. And a lot of people let, you know, well, I have to learn how to market it, and I have to learn how to create a street team, and I have to learn how to, you know, make this work. I want to be the next Stephen King. I want to be the next Diane Gabaldon. I want to be, you know, I want to be these wonderful writers. Well, I guarantee you, they didn't start out thinking that they were going to become the people that they are today, the big mega authors that they are. They started out the same way that we're starting out. They sat down and wrote the first sentence, wrote the first word, wrote the first paragraph, wrote the next paragraph, did a lot of editing, probably wrote more words for their first book than they ever thought they would, probably wrote more first books than most of us will, since we are able to self-publish now. Some cons. You need fans. You actually need super fans. You need people that are going to trumpet your book and tell everybody that they know how great it is. You have to understand there are a lot of self-publishers out there. And you have to understand you're probably not going to get rich on your first book. Now, I know my friends in Middletown are going to look at me and say, J.D. Vance did. Well, J.D. Vance had a lot of help. And that's all I'm going to say. We'll get into how these different scenarios work later, but he had a lot of help. And he had an agent, and he had a traditional publishing house, and he had somebody that told him his story with it, a narrative that was happening at the time. And it's a nonfiction book. It's a memoir. So there's a different expectation for each genre that you get into. So with having said that, why would you even start, right? Here's all these obstacles up there, all these cons. You know, you have to know about the genre you're going to be in. You know, you probably won't get rich. So why do I want to do that? Well, it's a dream that you always wanted to write a book. It's been a dream of mine that I always wanted to write a book. I wrote a book. I wrote actually a lot more books than one. So it's the next step after you finish writing your book. I mean, we could all sit down and write in a journal for the rest of our lives and no one ever sees it. And that may be exactly what you want to do. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it seems like there's something missing from that. You've taken all this time to write something down, but you haven't shared it with the world. So publishing is kind of the next step after you finish writing a book. You want to tell a story. You're a storyteller. You want to be able to trumpet this out to the world and share it. You want to share your own story, like J.D. Vance or other people who have written memoirs, or you want to tell your friend's story. You know, somebody has a really unique life. There's nothing more off-putting to an author than to have somebody come and say, "Hey, I have this friend, and you should write her story. It's his or her story because you know it's really great." And it's like, you know, that's not what I do. That's not what I write. If you want your to tell your friend's story, then tell your friend's story. Sit down and start writing it. There's a lot of help out there to find exactly what you need to do to get it out there. As a matter of fact, we're going to tell you what you need to do to get it out there if you stay tuned. So, another reason why you want it's a part of your journey here on Earth. It's something that you've always felt you needed to do. You're passionate about what you're writing and you want to get it out there. You'll work hard to make it, in quotation marks. And my story is as good as anything else I've seen out there. And you know what? That's probably true. You know, you could probably sit down. I've been watching television for a many, 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 many years. And sometimes I wonder how that made it and something else that I've read or that I've written myself hasn't. You never know. It's just, you know, it's like how my friend George Gallo says, you know, you'll be sitting in a production meeting or something like this, and somebody says, "Let's write a story about a fish." And you're like, "What? A fish?" And then along comes Nemo, right? So, anyway, great stories. But again, you're doing this because you want to do this. You're doing this because you're passionate about it. You're doing this because you want to share your story. These are the reasons why you start on this path. Okay, next slide. So I'm here to help you get started. Okay. I've published 7 books. If I count ebook and paperback and hard copy, in other words, known as ISBN numbers, if I count those, it's actually like 11 books, but I've actually written 7 books and published 7 books. With each book, I've learned something new. And then we're going to start, like I said, at the very, very beginning. I'm going to start talking to you about helpful applications, software, etc., that's going to help you get started writing your book. So, before you publish, before you even start worrying about publishing, before anyone even says that self-publishing word to you, here are some things that we need to talk about. We're going to talk about some helpful tools. We're going to talk about why you need an editor and where you can find them. We're going to talk about book covers and graphic designers. And then we're going to go into talking about actually creating your book. So, some helpful tools. All you need to start writing is a pen and a paper, piece of paper. You've been writing all your life, You've been writing when you were in high school and grade school. You've been writing all your life. So why is it so hard to start putting pen to paper to write your story? It's like painting a painting. You're standing in front of a white canvas. I'm standing in front of a white page with lines on it. And it's saying, write something, or it's saying, paint something. So it's very, very hard. And it's very, very intimidating to look at that white piece of paper. But open up that word processor, put your fingers on those keyboards, and just write the first sentence. Guess what? You can go back and edit it. Just get going. Open the floodgates. Let those words start pouring out of you. And once you do, you're going to be surprised how fast it becomes, how fast it goes to write those first 100,000 words. There are a number of self-publishing coaches out there that says that say, you know, have a word target for the day, have a time target for the day. There's software out there that will help you with that. The timed version, Scribner, is one of them, I believe. You could set your own little stopwatch if you want. I happen to find a lot of that to be counterintuitive. I don't, or counterproductive, I should say, not intuitive, counterproductive. I don't like being timed when I write. I have enough other things that I have timed in my life that when I come and sit down and start creating, I don't want to have a time pressure put on me. If I get 15 minutes in one day, that's great. If I get 4 hours in the next day, that's fantastic. If I get 8 hours in the day after that, that's even better. So, again, don't be so hard on yourself that you prevent yourself from starting. So, like I said, open up Microsoft Word or a Mac equivalent. I happen to live in the Windows world, so I would open up Word. You know, pick up a composition notebook at the store. They're usually very, very inexpensive. It's a decomposition book is what I'm talking about. They're also recycled pages or paper, so it's, you know, you're helping the environment and everything. They're like I said, they're usually, you can find them on sale. If you're in the areas that have Kroger's, you can find them on Kroger's around the time school starts for like 99 cents a book. It probably comes with 250 pages, I think, in it. Front, if you work front and back. I use these decomposition notebooks for my research. I use them for writing a scene that I happen to come up with when I'm out somewhere and can't get to a computer. I use it to break down the story. And I just carry that book with me whenever I know I'm going to have some downtime, where maybe I'm waiting for someone and I can write out a few notes about, you know, a scene that's going off in my head. Another helpful tool that's out there is Grammarly. And I stumbled across Grammarly. I can't remember exactly sure. I may have actually done a search for a helpful tool to make my editor's life a lot easier. And I stumbled across Grammarly, and there is a free version, and then there's a version that costs 99 cents, and it's called the premium version, or $99, not 99 cents. For $99, it is worth it. I can't sing enough praises about Grammarly. It makes my life easier. It makes my editor's life easier. We catch a lot more mistakes before it gets published. So, and it has applications, plugins, or however you want to use that term, with Microsoft Word. I believe it does so on the app or the Mac Apple world as well. It plugs into Facebook. It plugs into my Gmail. So when I'm writing letters to people, it's catching my grammar mistakes. It's catching my spelling mistakes. My fingers tend to go faster than my brain. So there are usually some quick typos or things that are always in my letters. You can always tell if I'm on my phone typing to you or if I'm on my computer, because my computer has cleaned up words, has cleaned up grammar and cleaned up spelling and everything, where my phone doesn't have that. And I fat finger everything on my phone anyway. And then who autocorrect, oh my God, that drives me nuts. But anyway, if you get a chance, go out to Grammarly.com, look at their options. Even if you can't afford the premium option, I would highly recommend using the free version. And then I have a little note here that says, watch out for self-publishing professionals and vanity presses. You don't need a vanity press, and you don't need the self-publishing professionals to start writing your story. Okay? You don't. Just start writing it. And worry about that once you start feeling like you've got a product to put out there. You can get a lot of free information on the internet without paying for the classes that ask for, $600 to $800, and when you're done, you're going to be the next Aaron Sorkin or the next James Patterson or et cetera. You're better off taking that money, in my opinion, searching for a lot of free information, whether that be on the internet or at the library. Check your local library. We're actually going to be starting a writing club at our local library, and that's where you'll get a lot of information. You learn a lot as you go through this process. Vanity presses make sh if you decide that you don't ever want to learn how to publish, that you want to spend your time writing it, you don't want to spend your time putting the book in the right format, working with an editor, although you will have to work with an editor at some point if you go with a vanity press. And when I say vanity presses, they basically will do everything to put your book together with you. And then they get a large portion of the royalty on any sale. So, but you'll have a thing that says, such and such a press, at the bottom, like, Dog Ear Press, or I don't, there's an author source, but beware of author source. Not very, very good at all. Don't. So make sure that you check out these presses before you sign with them, because sometimes you sign away the rights to your book and you don't want to do that. You want to make sure that you have the rights to your book. You want to make sure that you have the rights to the cover of your book, and you want to make sure that you have a clause in there that you can cancel at any time, and all of the files that they created for your book get reverted to you. So never sign away the rights to your book. Never sign away your copyrights. Never sign away the rights to your character. Always keep that with you. So that's a watch out. Watch out for the professionals, watch out for the vanity press. Make sure you understand what you're doing when you get involved with any of them. There is a very helpful website out there, a very helpful organization called Alliance of Independent Authors, and they have a large following, a large group of people, large number of members. And there's a place on Facebook where you can ask questions. They have a website. They do author fringe conferences. They were really informative when I started my self-publishing career. And I really highly recommend, because they give you just really good straight information. I really recommend looking into them as a source for keeping you on the straight and trustworthy path, so that you don't stray out again. And then the other thing about, we talked a little bit about book formatting and things like that, and covers and all that. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But here, look at your favorite authors and see what fonts they're looking at. See what covers they're doing. I saw a Lee Child book about 3 years ago, and I was really surprised, because when I picked it up, I thought, it, has he gone to self-publishing? What is this about? And looked at the inside, and he used a really hard font. They used, I should say, not he. They used a really hard font to read, in my opinion. And so it was kind of interesting, because I thought, well, maybe he did move to self-publishing. And I thought, this is really strange, considering his connections to the thriller group that he helped form. And so it was kind of interesting looking at it. And I looked at the back, and it ended up, no, he didn't. He was still with a traditional publishing house, but it was really hard on the eyes, I thought. So lesson here is that even the traditional publisher houses, sometimes publishing houses sometimes have made mistakes too. So things aren't perfect. But so the other thing before you publish, find yourself a really good editor. Find yourself actually a really great editor. Ally, the Alliance of Independent Authors, can refer you to some editors. Readsy has a list as well. My editor is Sonia Sweeney. I love her. She's wonderful. She's wonderful. I don't have any other words to describe her. We work very well together. She's very flexible on things. She's stuck with me through all three of my blind series books. And, you know, I've even asked her to do some postmortems around, you know, where do you find my biggest mistakes? And that helps me to learn more. So Sonia's a wonderful person. She can be found on Facebook. And I think she is also on Twitter. If you write her a note about editing, please tell her that I sent you, you know, her way. And then there's a whole discussion out there in the self-publishing world about beta readers versus editors. Beta readers and editors have two different purposes. Your beta readers are reading the story and will let you know where they got lost. They may, if they're teachers, English teachers, which I love reading my books because they always find something. So, and I mean that, I really do love them. You know, if a teacher is reading, if it's a beta reader in your group and reads your books and prints out, you know, or lists out things that need to be corrected that maybe your editor and you have missed, that's a good thing. Beta readers will also tell you where they get lost, will tell you whether or not they like the story. Some will give you grammatical errors. Some of them will tell you that they think it should be, something should be written a different way. It all depends on who your beta readers are. But your beta readers never, should never replace your editor. If you're going to, this gets into another discussion, but if you want your book to set up, to really stand apart from other books, having an editor, a really good editor, is a good idea. And then running it through beta readers is considered to be a really good idea as well. I don't have a lot of beta readers. I have people who are going to buy my book as soon as it is out. And I hear from them on a consistent basis, whether I released a book or not. Mainly when I'm not releasing it, it's when's the next book coming out. But I don't consider them beta readers. I consider them my super fans. So there's a bit of a difference there as well. So in my opinion, again, this is my opinion, you need an editor because your book becomes that much stronger when you have one. Beta readers, you can live with, I can live with, or live without, whichever is your best. I like taking my beta readers and making them super fans. So I appreciate my super fans so much. Find a book cover creator or graphic designer. This comes back to you're doing this because you just want to do it, in my opinion. You can do it yourself. There's nothing that says you can't. There's a couple different ways that you can do that. You can hire a book creator from a number of different places. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you're going to create them yourself, I use Adobe InDesign and I use Shutterstock and Getty Images where I buy the rights to use a photo. I go into Photoshop Editor and then I doctor that photo, bringing in other elements. So I do my cover designs and I don't adhere to what everybody says your cover should look like. I'm an artist. Quite frankly, if a traditional publishing company finds my books and decides that they want to publish them, there's going to be a whole rework cycle that goes into there, including the cover. And they'll have a graphic designer that's going to redesign the whole first covers, front covers, back covers, the spine, everything. They're going to remake the book. Okay. So when I think about that, my whole thing is, you know, I'm an artist. I'm going to create a really beautiful cover. That may not follow the rules of book cover creators. There are probably a number of book cover creators that look at the cover of my book and go, whew, she missed it on that one. But you know what? This is my journey. And I'm doing it because I love it. And I'm going to create my covers the way I want to cover it. you know, way I want to create it. So lots of fun. Just have fun. Have lots of fun doing it. So if you decide that you're, okay, you know, I never heard of Adobe InDesign. I don't want to do anything with Shutterstock and Getty images, and I don't want to do a Photoshop editor experience that takes 8 or 10 hours to create, then hire a pro. There are Fiverr graphic designers out on Fiverr. If you know a graphic designer, ask them if they're willing to do something for you and how much it would cost. Ally has recommended designers as well. So basically looking over the what we've just talked about, you know, get an editor, either create your book cover or have your book cover created. And we went over some helpful tools. Now you're ready to create your own book. So there's this thing out there called a free write. And what a free write is you're just letting the words flow through you. You're not worried about your grammar. You're not worried about spelling. You're not worried about your plot points at this point. You're not worried about, you know, what the end of the book is going to be, what the beginning of the book is. You're just writing scenes. You're just writing whatever comes to your mind. And that's what I write first. I write I write what is called a free write. And right now, book four, I have about 125,000 to 130,000 words. It has, I just actually went and organized some of the scenes. It has 44 scenes in it. And a scene ranges from anything that is, you know, 1 to 2 pages long to 10 to 12 pages long. So I have 44 scenes written. And now what I'm doing is I organized the scenes. I just said what each one of the scenes were. And now I'm taking that and plugging it into an outline. Do I know where I want this book to go? Yes, I do. Do I know what I want as I was writing? Did I say, oh, I need to write a plot point? Yes, I did. But for the most part, I just wrote a free write. Just started writing. Oh, this is a cool scene. I'm going to write here. I might not even use it. There are a lot of deleted scenes in my free write, and those will be put up on the blindseries.lindafissler.com website for others to read, for my super fans to read. But for the most part, the free write just starts to organize in my mind what I want to happen with the next series, the next book, the next chapter. And a lot of research goes into what the next trilogy of books is going to be about. So don't think, I mean, you can sit down and write a fantasy story, but I bet at some point in time you're going to be out there doing some research, you know, whether that be reading Tolkien or Lewis or whoever, but you're going to end up, you know, doing some research and spending a lot of time looking for research, especially if you're writing a historical novel, which mine are. So I spend a lot of time looking at these obscure little plots that, you know, prop up my story, if you will. So now you have your free write written, and now we have to turn around and format the book. Again, go look at some of your favorite authors. How are they formatting? Is there space between each line? Is there a double space between each paragraph? Is there a lot of white space? What size do you want your book to be? 6x9 or larger? Is it going to be hard copy? Hardcover or paperback? What are the costs of doing each one of those and doing it with size? What should you price your book at? Are you going to look at, you know, selling it at $12.95, $14.95, $16.95? And what does each of those price points mean? So as you're writing your free write, you're not worried about these things. But as you start to organize your book, you start worrying about these things. You know, yeah, this is taking your free write one step further. Can you write a free write forever? Sure, that's journaling. You know, you could do that forever without ever even publishing anything. But if you want someone to read your book, you have to make it reader friendly. And that's where formatting comes in. And that's where understanding that you need a lot of white space. You want to invite them in to read something. If you've ever seen a book that is single spaced and doesn't space between paragraphs, think about how quickly your eye fatigue kicked in. If you have a lot of white spaces, oh, there's not that much more to read. I could turn the page. You know, I want to keep reading this because it reads, I'm turning the page quickly. You want turning the page quickly. Okay. I have one super fan who purchased all three of my books at one time, went home, spent Friday, Saturday, and Sunday reading it. That's what you want. She was finished. She wrote, actually, I think it took her longer than 3 days, but she started the day after she bought them, which I think was a Thursday, and she wrote me all the way through the whole reading of the book, of the first book and the second book and the third book. So I think maybe it was about 5 days, I guess, it took her to get through the books, and was, jokingly with me saying how she couldn't get anything done because she couldn't put the books down. That's what you want to hear. So lots of white space. Make it inviting. Your book blurb for the back cover is very important. It's a short synopsis of what is happening in that book. And you want to invite the reader in. If they read this book, this blurb, and they don't feel don't feel a need to open that first page and start reading, that blurb failed. You need a hook. You need to hook them in. So ask a couple questions. Will Nicole survive telling the truth about the five businessmen who are plotting to overthrow the government? Will she survive? First question, who's targeting her death? Something that, gives you that mystery and suspense and intrigue. You're going to need front matter and back matter. Front matter and back matter are things like the dedication, the author note, the use of quotes, anything, your copyright. Create a little press. Mine is Kit Kat Press. That shows that it's being marketed not by you. It's just something that it doesn't mean a lot because there are a lot of people who form their own press, publishing houses, if you will. So all of that goes in the front. Just page through your favorite author's book and see what's there. A list of your other books that you've po that you've published, some reviews that you have gotten on the book. Post those in there as well. Okay, so went through a little bit of formatting. Some handy templates. Create Space. I use Create Space because it's easy to use. They have a 6x9 template. They have a couple of different forms that you can follow. You download them and you're off. You start plugging in words from your free write, you're cut and pasting, you're fine. It's holding up the formatting, everything stays the same. So Create Space has a number of them that are out there. Go have a look at those and you can download those when you're ready to do that. Another site is thebookdesigner.com, and that's Joel Freelander's site. He has a lot of interesting information and a blog there as well that you can read. Do you need an ISBN number? Well, the place that I get my ISBN numbers is from Bowker, and the ISBN numbers are good for a couple reasons. One is if you're going to get a copyright, which my Blind Influence is copyrighted right now, and I am getting ready to copyright the other two, you need that number. The libraries appreciate that number, and so do bookstores appreciate that number because it gives them something in a unique number to actually index against, and inventory and all that good stuff happens with that number. So if you plan on selling and trying to make it, you really ought to have that number. And if you're going to copyright, which I highly suggest that you do, you'll need that number. Pick a site to publish to. There are a number of different sites that you can publish to. CreateSpace is actually going to be going away, and you'll be able to do it through Kindle and other. Yeah, I think Kindle's now has a place where you can actually create your ebook into a paperback book. I'm gonna be like, create. And I want to be clear. CreateSpace isn't going away as far as creating the paperbacks. It's going away as far as trying to sell them. Everything will be sold over on Amazon, not in a separate place. So kind of sad that it is that their library is going away and it's being streamlined into Amazon itself. But I think we all saw that one coming when Amazon bought CreateSpace. There's Lulu, there's Kobo, there's Smashwords, there's a ton of places to publish out on the site. If you go to Create Space and create your paperback through there and pick the wider distribution, you'll get in Barnes and Noble's online service, you'll and a number of other places as well. So I tend to just stay through Amazon and use their wider distribution units or options to be on other sites for paperbacks. For ebooks, I'm strictly Amazon Kindle. And the reason why is then that's less marketing, less time spent looking at placement on sites and different things like that. So I sell through my website, I sell through book signings, personal contacts with people, et cetera, which is my best selling tool. And then through Amazon is the next. So as I said, I use CreateSpace. I upload my PDF files, both my interior and my exterior, meaning my exterior being my book cover and my interior being the book that I have formatted. And I upload it once. CreateSpace, as I talked about before, is closing its e-store. It's still out there and still the place that I will go to load my paperbacks, and I will go to Kindle to upload my ebook. I keep them separate. And after you upload it, do not publish it right away. Order a proof and read it again, and then read it again, and then read it again. And I'm not a broken record here. Each time you read it, you will find something else. You will also start asking yourself questions of, do I want to change that? If you want to change something, now is the time to change it, not after you publish it. I mean, you can change it after you publish it, but now is the time that you really want to think about what's going out there and is it clear? Hopefully you had a round of editing with an editor and you've gotten most of those things ironed out. But the interesting thing is once you see it in a proof, once you're holding that book in your hand and you're reading it, a lot of different things come at you. And you'll question a lot of different things, and you'll find all the typos that you and your editor and happened to miss, or happened after you had your edit and you went in and made a change and you didn't take it back through your editor because you didn't want to spend the extra money. You may find more typos there, so or missing word here or there because you've done that. So again, upload it, proofread it, and then proofread it again and read it again. And then upload it again, order another proof copy, and read it again. You will be so sick of reading your book by the time you're ready to hit that publish button. Trust me, you'll be tired of reading it. So, publishing. So after brief reading it several times, run it past a beta reader or two, or it's just time to press the publish button. I run it through my editor. I order a couple proofs, make a few changes, order a couple proofs. And then I press the button, and that's it. It's published. Now you're into marketing. We have all this marketing that we have to do, and your work's not over. But take time to congratulate yourself, pat yourself on the back, because you know this was a lot of work to get it to where it is. To push that publishing button takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of time. I honestly don't know how people publish a book a month or a book every 2 or 3 months. With my research, because it's a historical novel, I'm really pushing it to publish something once a year in the Blind series. I know that Outlander, you know, we're talking 900 pages or so, that it takes her a good 4 years to publish the next book. And she has a number of different things, offshoots that happen, short stories, novellas, or whatever that happen, because she will write something that ends up not being in the book that she'll take off and put in a different book series similar to it. So again, when you hit that publish button, celebrate a little bit. It took a long time to get here. And look back at how afraid you were or how intimidated you were to start writing that first sentence, and look where you're at. You've published. So, take some time and celebrate that. But like I said, your work isn't over. We have marketing and promotion that needs to be done. Social media is good for that. Posting teasers is good for that. The first people that will be interested in reading your book are hopefully your friends. And Hopefully they will be your street team that will turn around and start telling people you have to read this person's book. Do a lot of local book signings. Ask if you can speak at your li local library. Make sure that you're tied in to them. Make sure that your local library has your books. Part of this is word of mouth and getting your name recognized as an author. So don't ignore the library stream that is out there. Like I said, have personal book signings where you talk about the book and you talk about your writing process and to folks, and see if stores or friends will host parties. Look for book clubs. Do a number of different things. And I want to talk a little bit about. We talked a little bit about KDP Select, and I talked about libraries, talked about book signings. So audiobooks. I'm actually converting Blind Influence. Well, I'm not. I have a contract with a company called Skyboat Media, who is creating the script for the audiobook and will record the audiobook. And we've talked about what we're going to do with that. I'm going to be flying out probably in January of 2018, and meet with the group and see the script that they are creating for Blind Influence, and maybe even hear a little bit of the recording that they're going to be doing. But audiobooks, from a promotional point of view, and from a let's just call it the landscape of things, audiobooks are not cheap to create. There is a difference in quality, a major difference in quality. So don't think that you're just going to sit down and start recording your book. You're just going to, read it, and people will buy it. It's almost like they need to be acted out for it to be a good audiobook. It has to be entertaining. It isn't just reading. But the interesting thing about audiobooks is, because they are so expensive, there is a smaller number of independent publishing authors who are taking that leap into audiobooks. There are also where there are millions and millions of books, there are less audiobooks because of the cost. But audiobooks have such a fierce following that people are listening more, just like you're listening to this podcast. The need and the want for audiobooks is out there, and it's real. So there have been a number of professionals who have come back and said that, if you really want to get exposure, create an audiobook, because there will be people who will start to follow you because they've listened to your audiobook and want to know when the next one's coming out, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't mean that they're going to go turn around and buy your paperback, but they will become your audiobook fans and will be looking for the next audiobook to come out. Again, not a cheap thing to do, but if you want to get your name and your work ex you know, exposed to a greater number of people, audiobook is probably the best way to go. So here's a little page that we did. It's November right now. It's actually towards the end of it. Because of circumstances of in my life, I really haven't been able to get much writing done here in November, but doesn't mean I'm not going to do it in December. I'm looking forward to getting back at it. This talks a little bit about NaNoWriMo and what your target should be. Just for I had talked to the folks at the library at the beginning, the group that showed up, and basically the Blind Series books are about 80 to 85,000 words, not counting the front and back matter. So that tells you, where your target is. And again, this 80 to 85,000 is what the book ends up being. I typically write about 150,000 word free write before I even start getting to this number, this 80 to 85,000 number. So you can understand that, writing a 30 to 60,000 word book is one thing. Actually, formatting and everything is a whole nother matter, but don't let that stop you from starting to write. the idea behind this is that writing becomes a habit. If you choose, you can enter a contest, and the writing website is nano, nanowrimo.org. So you can go out there and check that out. A little late to be signing up for that today, but think about that for next year. There's also something that comes up in March that is also kind of in support of this, and it's another type of, it's not write the whole month, but it's another version of this that they have out there. So that to me is the fundamentals of self-publishing. Actually, it's the beginner's version of get you writing, and hope that you will do that, and hope that you found this talk very interesting and helpful. And if you have any questions, be sure to drop me a note. So thanks for tuning in, and I'm going to put this out on YouTube, and it's out on my iTunes site. And if you have any questions, you can visit Blind Series, so BLINDSERIES dot LindaFisler.com, and or you can connect with me on Facebook or on Twitter, although I have to tell you I'm not on Twitter all that much. I'm not on Facebook all that much either, but I do manage the accounts. So I will talk to you later. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you found this helpful. More to come. Bye.